The recordings are started.
Thank you very much. Rafiq, you may continue, please.
Okay, thanks. And thanks, everyone, for joining for today's call. We are still in this process for amending the charter of NCUC. We were supposed to have a call with NCUC general membership this Monday, but we postponed it to next Monday because we should go really through the comments we got and try to answer them to prepare a new draft that we can share and to move on for the discussion. So the purpose for today's call is really to try to solve as much comment as possible and to provide wording when needed or to make changes. And the call in Monday would be a really good opportunity to get direct comment and feedback, and hopefully can speed up the process for us. So, I'm not sure if you checked the document shared by Fazan in this week, which is a compilation of all the comments we get. It's the same in the Google Doc. And also, Fazan, I wanted to answer three questions that we put in the list getting different comments. So I would suggest that we start to go through the comment because they have been for a while and we need either to respond sometimes about the rationale for the amendment we put there or proposing a wording and so on. So Mariam, can you please share the document sent by Fazana this week in the list? Hello?
Is Starzy there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. For a moment, I thought I was alone. Okay, so I just asked
you.
Okay. So anyway, in the meantime, maybe Farzana, can you go through the document and start with the first comment?
Yes, of course. So basically what I did was I compiled the document and I made it to the comments and I made it to the general issues and then the specific issues. We received comments from Matt, Aiden, and Avery. And a couple of other comments are on the mailing list. We sent three separate questions. These are not separate from the comments we have received. I've actually highlighted them because they came up in Aubrey, Matt, and Aiden's comments. So these were like three general questions that I came up with to see what the answer of the members is. One of the things that Aubrey said was that NCSG charter might go under the review and some of the processes of NCSG might change. So this might actually affect the parts of the bylaws that we have for NCUC that depends on the NCSG process. So Avery cautioned us and said, consider this. Should we come up with a solution for this, or should we just leave it to, if NCSG go under the review, then we are just going to review NCUC charter, and then it's going to take us a year, of course, maybe less, to be aligned with the NCSG charter again, and just leave it at that, or shall we come up with an actual clause that says if NCSG process changes, we change the NCUC charter, like somehow, maybe not maybe not going through like the board approval and all those things. I don't know. I have a not very well cooked idea. So we either have two options: either just leave it and see whether NCHC goes under review, or come up with a clause that predicts what will happen.
Okay, thanks, Farzani. If I can answer this, the comment that Pope, I would say, raised at this point was, I think, about different issue, which is about the idea if someone joined NCAG, he's asked automatically to join constituency. She was trying to say that, she's objecting to automatic process, and people should probably maybe pick up constituency later on. So I think that's what drives it, and maybe there was some misunderstanding. Regarding any changes of NCAG charter, the impact, it can happen any time. But even if the NCAG charter is supposed to change or to be amended, its process, it will take time, like for us. And even if it's done, they will have to go through the GENESO, charter process as described in information that we got from Rob, and I shared in the list. So it will take some time, not less than 6 months. I don't think as NCUC we need automatically to make amendment, because it depends which area of changes in NCAG. There are several provisions of NCAG that are not necessarily impacting us as a constituency. For example, if let's say someone wants to change how the policy committee is formed, something like that, maybe it have some impact, but we don't necessarily need to change an NCUC. So I think it will be case by case. And we have the ability with the EC to initiate any time charter amendment. So honestly, I'm not worried of that case. We can align NCUC with NCUC charter anytime. And we are doing it now because it's really overdue. This process should have been done like a while ago. So we are really trying to catch up. If there is any change in the future, I guess it will be limited. I don't think there is either the willingness or the resources to change the whole NCUC charter. And even in such case, we will have to assess what is really the impact in NCUC. So I'm not worried here. And I think we cannot anyway making just the clause that we can amend the charter by ourselves. Whatever any change, I think, in the charter, we will have to go through the whole process with the staff, with the OEC and the board. So it will be a timely consuming process anyway.
That's great. Joao, if you have any comments or if you agree with us, can you just say that? Thank you.
Okay, so everyone is happy? Okay, that's good.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go to the second thing. So the definition of active members and members in good standing. I would suggest that we use the NCSG definition in active members. And I think that we should have a definition for active, inactive, and members in good standing. So first of all, one task is whether we should use the average suggestion and define inactive members as NCSG defines it. The other thing is to take up my suggestion and define good standing. or is this not, should not be in the bylaws, or should be in another procedural document? Thanks.
Okay. So, I mean, maybe using active and in good standing. I mean, it's not mutually exclusive, I guess. I guess good standing means that they are still eligible by the NCUC membership requirement. And I'm trying to check now for what NCUC is saying exactly about active and inactive. So
I have that graphic. Did you browse it?
Yeah, I think it's related to the check-in process. So we can add that, I guess, because we are doing it currently as a practice for the election voting. And so maybe it just we will be more explicit here about the definition of inactive, and also clarify what does it mean. That is just related to the check-in process. Because the whole discussion about active and inactive started with some misunderstanding and the comment that maybe if someone is not participating in the mailing list or something like that, he's seen as inactive, and that's why people really kind of get, there was a strong reaction to that. So I think we...
So you are saying that we adopt the NCSG definition of inactive?
Yeah, I think it's a practice we are doing already, and I think it's clear. It's something we are used, and it's enough detailed. But if you we can check again if you if people want to read to be sure that that we can add it.
I think we should add it, and but then tell people what we have added and accept the changes. Can you, Mariam, is it possible for you to take notes of the decisions we make just in one sentence each? So for the question of number three, we had a decision.
Sorry, Mazani, I'm getting interference from your line. I can't really hear you.
This must be the miracle of Adobe. So basically, I've remade, I just said if you can make notes of the decisions that we are making in order to make changes to the bylaws, whether like whichever question you're answering, if you can just in one and say what that answer is, that would be great.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know what to do, to be honest. Let me just use a microphone. Let me just get my microphone. Thanks.
Okay, and Mariam, we will really need the notes quite soon. We cannot really wait just for Monday for this, since we need to have a draft for the call. Okay. Yes, Milton, I'm perfect. Okay, we're waiting.
Is this better?
Okay. So the decision, I think, is we will add the provision from NCSG Charter regarding inactive membership, which is Article 228, and the part that's saying the NCSG chair should send an email should be replace it, the NCUC chair should send email to all members. And we will use this to explain what active and inactive member means. Yes, Milton, please go ahead.
Just wanted to, some people had concerns about this definition of inactive, and I think, as I said in the chat, what we really want to avoid here is not to force people to be actively engaged, but to get rid of members who are unresponsive, who we don't have proper contact information with, and may not, you know, really be even paying attention anymore.
So we should change inactive to unresponsive? All occurrence of inactive there in the article?
We don't have to do that as long as if people see this and they start complaining again about getting eliminated from the list because they're not actively participating, we can make it clear that what we're after is not, you know, non-participation. We're after people actually not even no longer valid in terms of their email address, no longer paying attention. Those are the ones that we are wanting to deem inactive.
Okay, understood that. But, I mean, are you suggesting some rewording of the article, or?
Well, do you think that would be better or not? I mean, I what matters is what we how we define inactive, not so much which word we use.
Because, I mean, the article itself is really quite detailed. What does it mean? And it's specific about it's a process before annual election, and that we the chair will send email, and if there is no response, an attempt will be made to reach the member by other means. If after reasonable attempts fail to reach the member or its representative and confirmation of contact, and just he will be moved to inactive members list, and that inactive member can be removed from the inactive list by updating its contact information. I'm not sure. It's quite really, really detailed. It's even procedural as an article. So, but we can give anyway some rationale to explain this. It's not working yet, Joao. Okay. So
if you're not changing the wording, okay. So great. So we just add up the NCSG a definition of inactive in the NCUC. We agreed on that. Just one minor thing that Avery has. Can you hear me? Is it better now? Because I can really hear myself as well. Okay, good. So one more thing that Avery has suggested is to suggest in under section B, voting members, add active member organization and a list of active individual members should be provided 30 days prior to the election. And so Avery has suggested it in the bylaws, and I don't think this is something that is too controversial. I think we can have it. The other point is that also there is the members in good standing. So if we put active individuals and active member organizations, then what does it mean in good standing? So it would be standing the same as active, Rafiq.
Farzan, just to confirm, which part you are talking about from Avery? I couldn't catch it, so.
Page 13, if you go down, you can't even see the page here. Mariam, can you unsync the document here? Okay, great, thank you. So it's page 13, I'm hoping that, yes, we can see the page. So if you go on page 13,
okay,
and then you
13.
Can go under voting members, I think. That's something like that. Let me see. Yes, voting. So under voting, Avery suggests that we said under B, voting members, number one, the chair shall publish on the website a list of the official representatives of each member organization. So she actually suggests that before a member organization, we should say active member organization, and a list of active individual members in good standing 30 days prior. Is that clear?
Okay, I'm reading about voting members. So a list of good standing 30 days prior. I think this is what related to the idea of active and inactive list and doing the check-in.
Right, but I think there is a potential ambiguity whether being in good standing is the same as being active or whether we mean something else by that. And if we mean something else by in good standing, then what is it that we do mean? Because I have no idea.
Okay, I thought maybe in good standing means it's maybe eligible, but if it's not clear, maybe it's better to write out of this part, just saying shall publish the list of official representative and of active members, I guess, since we are using that article.
Well, I like the idea of referring to eligibility also, because the issue we have with Peter is whether their eligibility changes or becomes questionable.
Okay, so you see, you want to say that publish the list of eligible and active in a member?
Yeah.
Okay.
It has to be eligible as defined by the section that defined eligibility. Mariam, if you can take a note of that so that we can make this change in the bylaws later. So we need to add eligible to section B, voting members.
And active, I think. Eligible,
yes.
And active. So, for example, just to be sure, Mariam is taking note, and we'll use that, but you will ensure as the pen holder to add, I mean, I think we should, I'd say, export the document and to really create one with the changes. Or you want that we use, we use the same document and make changes there?
Yes. Rafiq, I think what we can do is that we can just take another document, take the document that has been commented on, and then we are going to accept the changes that we discussed here, a couple of like grammatical changes that members suggested. And whatever we discussed here, I will import it to... I will implement it into the bylaws, and then I'm just going to send it to you, and you can just look at it and then send it to the members. And I'm going to do that by tomorrow.
Okay. Hopefully we can go through all comments. Okay. So, Joao, just to be clear, activity and inactivity has nothing to do how long members have been in the NCUC. It's just being responsive to the check-in process. So there is no problem for newcomer or old. People just need to confirm the check-in, and that's it. If they confirm, they are considered as active member.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Rafi. If we can go to the other points that the members made. Matthew Shears believes that we need to address the accountability of NCUC in the bylaws. And I think he has also sent a couple of comments, which I have forwarded to you. I don't think he has commented on how we should do this. And so I'm not really sure, but should we go back to Matthew and ask him to send us a final wording for the accountability for the second version when it's being reviewed again?
Yes. I think one of problem about the comments that nobody is suggesting a wording and just making comment, and we have to figure out how to respond to that. And also, I'm not sure what we mean by NCUC accountability, because what Matt was suggesting is really about officers here, and I'm not sure what we are trying to solve exactly, because misrepresentation, for example, how an executive committee member can misrepresent, how we will define that. This is kind of maybe it's really open to interpretation. For example, the non-participation is something we have some definition there. We can maybe clarify the criteria and to be more stringent, but like misrepresentation or something like not fulfilling our responsibilities, it's really vague, and I'm not sure how it's related to executive committee. It may be related to policy committee if we activate it, but executive committee, I'm not sure. So probably if he has a specific language, it will be really helpful.
Okay, so the other decision, so everyone agrees that we just go back to Matt and ask him to give us a wording on the accountability of NCUC and what should be mentioned in the bylaws, and then we can discuss it. Okay, great.
I would like to, I think it's a good idea to ask him, but I think maybe he's kind of positioning us for this this Workstream 2 thing about the accountability of the ACs and SOs. And so if we have shown in our bylaw we've paid some attention to accountability, that might be what he's after. But I think in general, you know, with annual elections and various kinds of things that are already in our bylaws, I think we are quite directly accountable to our members. I'm not sure what he would be talking about, and you know what we would be lacking in that sense.
Okay, I would say something here, Minton. I think Matt is trying to solve a problem that is not in NCUC but in another place. If I'm trying here to be kind of implicit, and that's why I have some problem here. What kind of language we can put? So if he has a specific wording, why not? We can add it. It's not a problem. But also the other issue that will arise, who will implement this? This is just about the removal. How we will initiate such process? I think we went through it, and it doesn't seem real, quite straightforward.
OK, Okay, so we just go back to Matt and ask him what sort of language he means and what we should include. So there is another general question that has been raised, and that is about whether the NCUC bylaws should consider to be ended in a court in order to considering that there is an empowerment unity in the ICANN bylaws and there are a couple of changes and that NCUC can assert its power through the empowered community. Should the NCUC bylaws address how to play a role in empowered community or not? I did mumble there. But this is the question. Incorporating changes to NCUC bylaws, considering the new ICANN bylaws and empowered community. That was it. So should we do that or not? A couple of people have said yes, we should do that. What would be the solution? Shall we come up with a language now? Shall we do it later?
So, Farzi, my problem here is that this, bylaw change that will happen for GNSO is still under discussion, and it will take some time even for the GNSO because I think GNSO Council will have to vote, and then it should be, I think, in public consultation, if I'm not mistaken, and then maybe also the board will be involved for any change in the bylaws and so on. So that's some time, and we have to vote before that, before knowing exactly what are the changes. So what I may suggest, maybe this is just a workaround, in those kind of cases is to have some a transition article saying that we predict a process change related to the empowered community. And the EC should work on maybe a procedure to enact that as an interim solution till the next charter amendment, which can be done by the next election. Maybe giving some timeline, something like that, can be an acceptable solution. Because anyway, we have no way to predict when the changes will happen the other side, so we can synchronize. Our next change will be next year election. So, okay. Hello. Okay, but I cannot hear you, Farzin.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, so to be honest, I don't know at the moment. I think your idea is good, but we have to come up with a very good wording. And I'm a little bit concerned that later on, we might have trouble. I might not have the. I don't know what. I don't. There are some concerns if we do not predict some mechanisms in NCUC bylaws. I totally agree with you that the GNSO has not even agreed on how to participate in the empowered community. So we cannot really come up with bylaws clauses. Milton, do you want to?
Yes, Madam Chair. I don't quite understand the point of, Rafiq's suggestion. It basically says we might change something in the future, right? And that's sort of implicit in the amendment process. Unless you create a rule that somehow makes it easier for us to change something in the future, we can always change something in the future. So, and if you just want the executive committee to start thinking about this and start drafting some things, we can do that whether or not there's something in the bylaws. So let's not clutter up the bylaws and force ourselves to come up with complicated wording now. Let's just get this finished. And, yeah, we can adjust to the empowered community in the future if we need to.
Yes. I'd say, Milton, that's the point, is to we can make the amendment in the future. But there was some concern for some members about that. We have to get something done related to the empowered community in the bylaws to that NCUC will be able to use some of the powers. So what I was suggesting is that we cannot really make changes in our bylaws without having clarity of what GENESO and the board will approve exactly. I mean, so what I was suggesting, if really people are really keen to use whatever power that will be provided to NCUC, and before that we get to work to amending the charter, we can provide the possibility to the executive committee to work as a temporary solution on some procedure to enact or to use those powers. That's what I was suggesting, is to provide a way in terms of procedure and having kind of transition article about that. We can leave.
Okay, so you're saying we basically are authorizing in the bylaws the EC, the executive committee, to do something, whatever is required, once we actually do know what the procedures are within the GNSO. Is that right?
Yeah. So we don't know how long it will take for GNSO, and when, I mean, also how long it will take us to amend our charter. So we need some workaround as an interim solution and allowing kind of interim solution by the EC maybe to work on some procedure that it legitimizes whatever we can do during that period.
Okay, well then I guess then I do agree that we need to do that, and I also agree with Farzi that the wording would be very important. It would also have to be sunset in some way so that it doesn't become a residual power that could be abused once the issue is cleared up and there's no formal bylaw. You understand what I mean?
I guess, yes, I think we can limit it in time, saying that it's a transition article that should be become, I would say, defined after like the approval by the board of the, how to say, the GNSO bylaw change regarding the empowered community within 3 months, something like that, to allow us really, or 6 months, to allow us to work on the change, something like that, maybe within 6 months and before the next election, or, you know, next.
Okay.
That
what we need now, then, is somebody to draft that language, and I can tell you 100% certainty it's not going to be me. It's not that I don't want
okay,
to. The things I have to do between now and, you know, it's just I'm at my capacity. I can't do anything like that.
Okay. But at least we have a note and working on this, so we can, within the weekend, we can, wordsmith some article, but just taking note that we should work on this proposal.
No, not we. Somebody. An individual with an arm and a brain must be designated to come up with a draft, and I'm just telling you, I'm out of that. So who's it going to be? You, Farzi, Zhao, Grace?
Let's say lead this first. So, Farzane.
Yeah, ladies first where there is work. I mean, to be honest, I'm not very sure. I'm not very sure. I'm going to work on it. But, of course, you have to edit it and you have to also it's going to be a draft. I will work on it. But also, can you tell Maryam exactly what you want me to do so that okay. I get it right?
Okay, so drafting, I'd say it's transition article regarding the empowered community. So drafting, an article. It's to provide the executive committee the ability to work on a procedure. To apply the empowered community rights at constituency level. As interim solution till the approval by the GENESO and the board of the bylaws change. Okay, so yeah. So what you are not following, sir, Maryam? I mean,
it's a transition article. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, for them, yeah.
Okay. So did Maryam take it? Okay. So it's about I have to come up with an article that says the executive committee will come up with a process considering for asserting the empowered for asserting power in the empowered committee. Okay, I understood this. Okay, I will come up with a wording. I hope I don't come up with the wording that I just did now. But okay, Maryam, just don't worry about it. Just say a transition article regarding the empowered community, and I will try to come up with that. So shall we go to this? This is good. Shall we go to the specific issues that were raised? On the bylaws? Asserting power. Okay.
So I think we answered the three question, this main question, I think. So we can go to the other comment.
That's great. If everyone can browse the Google Doc with all the comments that the members made, that would be great. So as you can see, Aiden had some kind of like grammatical stuff, corrections. I think we can just accept those. If you can do that, Rafik. And then, so I think Avery's comments that are related to the NCSG charter, we've resolved this then, because, well, she's cautioned us against this, that there might be a change and she doesn't like the process, but I don't see any kind of solution to this. Can we just resolve Avery's comments on the NCSG charter?
I think Avery is what is rising exactly is about that we about the selection of constituency. So it should not be we don't link the process joining NCSG and NCSG as constituency, because maybe there should be some time. It's not automatic. And I think that's what she raised here.
Yeah, but can we actually solve the issue? Because I don't know how to solve the issue because it's an NCSG.
Okay, let me see again the article. The membership should be NCSG individual, but need complete set out. And choose. Okay. Yeah, it's just. Okay. Maybe the wording. I'll say maybe the wording is kind of say, looks like people, or I mean, they have only to choose NCCF's constituency. So just maybe changing it in the way it's maybe looks more neutral. Like, and choose NCUC is one of the constituency.
The whole point, I think, of what Aubrey is doing is that you don't have to pick a constituency. And so when you say their constituency, you're kind of making it sound like everybody has to be assigned to a constituency.
Yeah, that's what I am asking. I was suggesting, Milton, that we change the wording because it sounds really kind of confusing here. Yeah.
So the way she proposed it is fine. It's you choose the NCUC constituency.
Yeah.
It's fine.
She strike the as there. Yep. So, okay. We can accept it then. Should I put some...
Can you just resolve it? And also, we have to be ready by on Monday when we have the meeting with them. And if she's present, we just tell her what we've done. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you can also resolve, so there's there as well. Okay. So we go to. So we have the policy committee here, and then this is organization and structure. Now section D. It says the policy committee shall consist of the NCUC chair, any elected GNSO representatives who are also NCUC member, any active NCUC who volunteers. She says volunteers for PC or volunteers for other work. It is open to all NCUC and other words, and I believe that Section 5 does clarify this. But do you want to clarify based on her questions in this section instead of Section 5?
Well, if you want to,
we need to see
say volunteers, if our intention is to say volunteers for the PC, then we just add for it after volunteers.
Okay.
So what she means is that volunteers for the what she wants to know is that if it's open to all NCUC members or not.
Okay, Farzani, what the Section 5 is saying exactly? Just to be sure we are in scene.
No, but you know, I think we can resolve this easily with what Milton is suggesting, because she's saying something really simple. She's saying that she just wants a clarification on this. If we mean volunteers for the PC or volunteers for other work, and we certainly here mean volunteer for the PC, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so just say that here.
Yeah, for it.
So I can make, okay, just for it. Okay, I can add that. Okay, and then I accept. Wow.
Yeah. So and also you will get all the a list of the comments and the changes and everything.
I start to accept to accept the comment or changes. So.
Yeah, that's
you want
okay.
to
so
keep some.
You can resolve everything here. Okay,
I can resolve it. I just resolved it.
Right.
Well, you guys are just blabbing away. I'm doing things.
Yeah.
Okay. So, next comment. Yep.
So the next comment is that active member of the NCSG. So ineligible or that. So she wants to add that organization meeting the following criteria. She is adding the organization is an active member of the NCSG. So she is to the list of the criteria.
Yeah, but we define active once per year for elections. So how we will do for new member? We will have to wait till the next check-in process?
I think what she means is that we have to add this, like we have to, the organization has to be active in general in NCSG.
How about
she has added this. Yes,
okay.
That is what she means. Yes. Let's keep this one. So Matt Shears has a comment here in the Word doc that I shared with you on this, and he says that organization meeting the following criteria are eligible for membership in the stakeholder group. On the stakeholder group, he comments, surely it is constituency first, then the stakeholder group.
Well, he's wrong. He's just wrong about that. Yeah.
So we just say, Matthew, you're wrong?
You have to join NCSG first.
Just a question. Say, Farzane, I don't see Matt comments.
I added it. I sent it to you guys because he sent it a little bit late, so I didn't get the time to do this. But I can just add it here. Matt Shears, because he didn't go to this thing and do it himself. Gosh, I love it. Okay, so I just added. You see the comment.
Where? Let me check.
Oh, so, it's under membership A, eligible organization, organizations
okay.
meeting. You see my comment right there? Matt Shears?
No. Okay. One sec. Is it eligible?
Oh, it's just
no?
up there. I think you were just there. Oh, you don't see my comment? Maybe
no,
it's
no,
there?
I saw it now, but... Yeah, but
okay.
what does this mean? Following are eligible for membership in the stakeholder group. What should not be here? I mean, we are defining the membership for the constituency. So.
Okay. So you have an answer for Matt. Can you put the answer under my comments that I just made, and then we just show that as an answer.
Okay, I mean, just here to try to understand. So it's saying organization meeting the following criteria eligible for membership in the stakeholder group. We are not defining the eligibility for NCAG. We are playing within NCAG eligibility rules. I think that's my understanding. Am I correct, Milton?
He wants to say that it's eligibility in the constituency first.
Who does?
I think that's my impression, but I can talk to him. I can get him on Skype tonight and see what he means.
It doesn't matter whether he means that or not. That's not the way it works.
Okay, so can you put that comment in the under what I wrote now, and then we just submit it to him?
Are you talking about?
Okay,
you mentioned a comment by Matt. I don't see any comment by Matt.
No, it's comment by me, but it says Matt Shears, because Matt Shears didn't use the Google Doc, and he sent it late, so I have to incorporate the changes, that the comments that he's made.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's very, very easy.
Okay.
I will answer that.
Yeah, can you please answer? Thanks.
So for Zane, just to be sure about the change, so it's adding eligible for membership in the stakeholder group?
So Sorry, eligible. Yes, you see the eligible organization.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what we did was mm-hmm. that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see what Matt is saying. So in that point where we say eligible organizations, we should be talking about the constituency, not the stakeholder group.
Yeah, and that's why I was trying to clarify. Yeah, so we aren't defining membership for NTUC. We cannot do it for NTUC.
Okay, so let's just get that done.
Okay.
Okay, yep.
Okay, let's go. All right. So, I'm so excited about this. Okay. So, we accept Avery's added comment, but this is but I want to hold that there. So, Aiden, to be a devil's advocate for a moment, we oppose the membership of a social purpose company from joining the NCUC. Might there not be such entities who would share our values? I don't know what Aiden means by social purpose company. So does it mean that it gets money, but it is socially good, like the Trump Foundation? I don't know. I don't know what he means. So I asked him to clarify. He hasn't clarified. What should we do?
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, maybe he's asking like social
entrepreneur. There's no issue here. There's no issue here. If it's a commercial company that happens to do, you know, wonderful things, it's not eligible. It goes to the business group. If it's a non-profit, it goes here. I don't. It's just not something to spend time on.
Yeah, it's like Google saying, don't do evil, but it's still they cannot join us. So, but just to be sure here, incorporated operating. I think we are providing some space, like is operating a country without provision for non-commercial incorporation. So. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how much we can be more detailed here. We are going to just open kind of forms. Anyway, so let's move to the next item.
So can someone respond? Like maybe Milton can just in one sentence just say that, you know, just one brief response so that we just resolve it. Sorry, my microphone was unmute. So we are still under the membership. So Avery on section C, she says that new NCUC members, if so, why list how they become members in this list? Because they become new. They newly join and they should notify their desire to join the constituency. Oh, yes, of course. So she has, okay, we should accept this. Let's just resolve. It's good. It's a good clarification.
Yeah. She added NCDC and so. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So let's just do that. Okay. Same objection as above, to include this NCSG process should change in the charter. In the charter might be problematic. So I think we discussed this. And I think, yes, we didn't discuss this comment. We kind of like discussed the objection to the process. And I think she has actually provided a solution. So it says as a choice. So we just resolve it. That's fine.
Yep.
Let's do that.
I like when people make a real proposal, not just asking that to figure out.
Yeah, that's really good. Okay. So what she says here on the members cannot change their official representative until the individual's term of office is completed totally makes sense. She says, why? Why should the members not change the official representative? So it's E, section E.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what we should do here, remove this?
Well, wait a minute.
No, she actually suggests something. She says, would it not be easier to use the NCSG condition that the office does not attach to the organization but to the elected representative?
Wait. Okay. The existing can design.
Why can't they change their official representative?
We don't until know. It's been there.
Because if he's elected, they cannot change till his term is his off.
Oh, I see. If an official holds an elective office. Yes, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
We can remove. I mean, I don't see. I think if someone, the organization changing someone as a representative, I mean, he cannot be, he should resign, but we can, I mean, he should be resigned, not hold the position till the end.
And who is so IT maybe Realms? Who is this comment, IT Realms, DSA?
This is Olivier, and I think there's some confusion in understanding the processes.
That's Remy.
Oh, is it Remy? Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. So yeah, I think. So what are we going to do first with Avery's comments? Are we getting rid of this or?
Yeah, just get rid of it.
Yeah, I think also we need to remove if an official representative holds an elective office in NCUC. So we remove the whole part.
No. Members can change your official representative at any time. The only reason you don't want them to do that is if they hold an elective office, which means that they could substitute somebody unelected for somebody elected in a, like the EC or the chair, and that's not what we want. But if they don't hold an elective office, if I decide, you know, that tomorrow the representative IGP is Brendan instead of me, that's my choice. Who cares?
Yeah, but, I mean, Milton, it means that we are electing individuals. It's not as they are representative for their organization or not. So if you are elected for IGP, you are elected as individual. If you are not anymore representative, you should be out.
I know. That's the point. So why would you eliminate the wording, if an official representative holds an elective office, you have to leave that in?
Yeah, so should be members can change their official representative? So we need to clarify here.
It's fine as it is. I don't understand what the problem is.
No, because it has to be the elected. So what she's suggesting is kind of get the NCSG condition that the office does not attach to the organization, but to the elected representative. So they can change their official representation, but if they move to another organization, for example, they are able to still be the elected representative. I think we have to be clear on this. This is not clear.
I mean, we cannot. So I think if an elected person is not an official representative anymore, it means that he's not even a member, so he should resign automatically from the office.
And that, I think, we don't want. If somebody is elected to chair the NCUC and they piss off their boss and their boss says, you're no longer our representative, and that means they have to resign as the chair. That's really bad, isn't it?
Yeah, but Milton, he's representative. He's not individual member. So how we can keep him in elected office when he's not even a member? He's just representative. And, you know, I mean, representative,
because he was elected.
But let me give you a case that happened in NCAG. We had a representative in EC that he changed it. I mean, he moved, he resigned it from his employer, and he moved it. He was working for another employer that he's in different constituency. How we should, in such case, if we had such, provision, he could stay, she could stay in the executive committee, even if she joined a different constituency.
Yes, that, but don't we have this new provision that allows us to remove people if they become ineligible?
Yeah, but, I mean, the point here is, the problem is, it's kind of a strange situation. The guy, I mean, the person is probably not even a member. I mean, if he was individual or she is individual, it's okay. But it's not even a member, and we don't even approve him or her yet as individual member. And we are leaving them in elected position. It's just really strange. I think it's really awkward. Even if we like the person, he's doing good job, but
no, I agree. What you're saying is no longer about the official representative in an organization. What you're saying is that their eligibility has changed. They're no longer a member.
Yes.
Okay, so we have provisions don't we say, you know, for all of these positions, they must be members? And do we have a provision that allows us to remove officers, elected officers, once they're no longer eligible?
I think we had that, but I need to check where exactly. Barzani, do you remember when we added that part?
Me? No.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Because you added that text from Ed, that's why.
Are you sure? From Ed?
Yep.
Here on this E?
No, in some part about the eligibility.
Oh, yes, of course. Okay. So, what would you like me to do? You want me to bring up what Ed suggested?
I'm trying to find the text we added about ineligibility.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, let me dig it up.
Yeah, because any change in the state, he will become ineligible. So, okay, who said that... Charter amendment will be easy to ask. Okay.
I found it. So it's the It's the part where it says that an individual who's registered. A domain name. Yes, so it is under an individual who's registered.
Okay, so I guess maybe it's not won't be easy answer here.
Okay, let's discuss it with Avery on Monday then.
Okay, can you take note of this?
Which one?
Mariam,
for discussion.
Mariam, can you take note that we discussed the where were we?
E.
Section what?
3E membership.
Okay, so it's section. Yeah, under membership, it's E. So it's like Article 3, Section E. And then you can just copy-paste this comment. This is average comment. This comment above. And then we discuss it with her. Okay.
Okay. So, I'm not seeing the. I cannot see the comment.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to be more clear. Yeah, I think we need also to be more clear that it's is an issue. You know. Yeah, it's not just about, allowing the organization to change representative, but also how to do in such case for that person, how we can keep him in the office.
Okay. So, okay, we just discuss that with her on Monday and come up with a solution.
Okay, but just take note. So can you take note? Remember that we discuss how to handle the case of elected officer who is not anymore representative of his organization.
So Avery said about that the office actually attaches to the individual, not to the not to the organization. So that's what she suggested, and she said that the NCSG has predicted something like this. But I looked at NCSG charter, I couldn't find it. I asked her where it is, but she didn't notice that I asked her where it is. I can just reach out to her tonight and ask her. So let's go to the next point. Shall we? Hello?
Hello? Which is the next point? Right. Where are you?
The next point is that of F under the same section. So Avery says that under F, each member may also designate additional individual to serve as additional representatives to the constituents. Such additional representatives may not vote. So Avery is asking, what about if the rep is not available? So the main rep.
Okay, wait. This is a bit minor. And
okay. Well, which part, I missed that.
F. Comment by Avery.
Okay.
Such additional representatives may not vote. See it?
Yeah, the vote is going to the the primary contact. They have to figure out. We cannot cannot handle different.
That's right. So this is kind of a bullshit comment because it's like, yeah, it could be an issue, but that's just, you know, we can't have people switching their voting representative, you know, 2 days before a vote, or at any time. You know, we don't have the administrative capacity to be doing that, and if they miss a vote because their representative is not around, and that becomes a regular pattern, then they should replace their representative. But this is not something we have to worry about in our bylaws.
Yeah, and also it's kind of, I think there is technical limitation. If the vote starts, we cannot change the email address. No way to do so.
Exactly. It's just not an issue. Let's just.
Okay, we can.
Then if you could just write a response to her on the Google Doc.
Okay, what to add?
Yeah. I'm adding something.
Okay, good. Okay, so the other thing is. Are we ready to go to the next point?
Okay.
It's H.
Use like active. H.
H number 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think. So. Active member. I think it's as we discussed already.
Yeah. Exactly. So we do this. Oh, sorry. What am I doing? So I just say active members.
And just to be sure, I think in one place the petition say 5% and another 10%. So we have to correct that. I think, where is it? I don't see it now. Okay, just please remember that it's 5% or 10%.
Okay. So there's so somewhere else it says 10%?
Yeah, somewhere it says 10%. I don't remember, but I recall making comment as a note. Okay.
Okay.
So we think 5% is enough?
5% is enough, yeah. I don't
5%,
know.
5%.
I think, yeah.
Okay, and I'm getting tired, so I'm mixing language now. Okay, let me read. Percent of active. Okay, makes sense.
Where are you, guys?
Okay, yeah. We are. So, Milton, the last change we made was that a petition of 5, you see the section H5.
Okay.
It says a proposed bylaws amendment, petition of 5% of
that's
the
all you need
active.
To say. H5. That tells me where to go. Yeah.
I hope so. I was just trying to be more clear. I don't know how to do this. So, okay.
Yeah, so obviously that's better to say active than current. That's should be done quickly, right? Just accept that.
Well, let's just resolve this, yes. Okay, and...
You resolved Avery's comment below, not active versus then current.
Oh, really? I'm sorry. Okay.
Can you undo what you just did? There we go. Okay.
Oh, what you're doing?
How did we? No, but then no. What?
No,
where?
I mean,
there we go.
You need to change the active.
No, I think I resolved the right one.
Let's not get hung up on this. It's fine now.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Wait,
yes,
did,
and there was Remy's also comment that I also resolved it because he was just mistaken about the process.
It was irrelevant. So what about active versus end current? I thought you had fixed that, and now your comment has popped up again. Can you just accept that?
No, I don't want to accept it because I want to go through it and then show the members the recent changes that we have done. So please
This is just something that nobody – you just want to waste time talking about that for 5 minutes?
No, I don't want to talk about it. Can you accept my change here, Rafiq? Can you just accept my change? I can't accept my own change.
It's a trivial change. It's just – yeah, accept it. Okay. Go on. What's next? I. We're on I now,
so
right?
She added who are individuals. So she added – yes, she added something to I. So if you read that.
So, again, she's being consistent that they have to join NCSG first.
Okay, let's resolve this.
Natural, natural person. Do we have a natural person?
No, we got rid of natural person. We only have individual person.
Well, it's say eligible individuals are natural person who are active individual members of the NCSG.
Okay. So what do we mean by a natural person?
As opposed to a legal person.
Okay, good. That's a good clarification.
Yes.
Okay, let's go to the next. Aiden, some kind of like beautified the document. You can accept this.
Okay.
And Aiden again, should we change his or her? Yes, I agree with Aiden here. To just change it to there.
Why?
You see? We don't have to come up with like gender specific pronouns, do we?
Well, there is plural, and we're talking about individuals, so I guess we're dealing with people with multiple personalities, but.
Oh, well. All right, then. Can you just comment on that then?
No, Joe, just do whatever you fucking want. Whatever's fastest.
Let's just resolve this. I will tell him.
Yeah, I think, I mean, this is kind of a new style. I'm as a non-native speaker, I have no idea about these changes.
All right. So we are at a very important question, and this is what Avery is asking, and I think it's very important to have a good response. So, in number one, you can see that we say an individual internet user who has registered domain name, blah, 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 and is not represented in ICANN through membership personally or by his or her employer. Then Avery says, how do you define employer? Is a consultant an employee of all their contractees or not? I personally don't think that a consultant is the employee of all their contractees. But,
I agree that a consultant, particularly a temporary consultant, is not an employee. But if you're working as a consultant for an organization, a commercial organization, you know, for most of your income, you have a conflict of interest, don't you? Particularly if it's a registry or registrar?
Yes. So I wanted to say this. So if it depends how much income you're earning from those contracts, then...
More than 50%.
No. But how can we? How are we going to establish it? How are we going to investigate? Yeah, so...
We make them... Give us their tax returns. I want to look at Avery's tax returns.
So should we clarify the language now?
Yeah, I think so. Or just maybe her employer. Maybe working for more than 50%, something like that. think working more than 50% for the same employer, I mean, it's beyond just being consultant.
Well, even if it's 40% of my income came from VeriSign, I would not consider myself a non-interested party. I mean, come on.
So what do you want to do?
I think we asked them for a conflict of interest statement telling us, you know, who they're working for. And
I think that's a good idea, yeah.
So,
okay, so we do.
So bureaucratic, oh my God. So ICANN already has a conflict of interest report?
I think there is something, a statement of interest, which it says that if you have any conflict of interest, just say it.
I'm writing some text here. You guys might want to move forward.
Okay.
I propose something.
Let's move on then, Rafiq. So we are at number 2 now. An individual internet user who is primarily concerned with non-commercial aspects of domain name policy. And then he wants to know how we define non-commercial aspects. Is it defined by the executive committee or not? Yes, of course it is. Let's move on.
I think there are some language about the non-commercial aspect in NCSG charter.
Oh, that would be great. Then we can just
cannot find it. Milton, did we ever define what does it mean to be non-commercial? Or just is opposition to commercial? That's it.
I think it's in our eligibility requirements. You're not making a profit. You are, you know, individual or household user, you know, it's in there.
So we just refer to it?
I agree with him. I think we should refer to it and just get on with that.
I'm going to, how about, let me just, I just sent to the Adobe chat a proposed text.
I don't see new text, Nathan.
It's in the Adobe chat.
Yeah, I have a hard time to go through it.
Well, since
I see only the one about the consulting contracts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but Milton, what will happen if they say, oh, yeah, so I get this much income from this contracted party and this much income from those guys. And so sometimes people might not want to disclose this. They might be scared that they won't be admitted to NCUC. So how are you going to solve that?
Basically, we're giving, I thought that last sentence, failure to do so, would give the EC the ability to investigate if they had questions.
Okay. And then if we investigate, how are we going to, investigate. So it will, okay, it will let us investigate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we can go more further. It's being too much procedural here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, that's true. So there was another important point before we go to other comments. Some members are asking whether
Farjana, huh? Did you add the text or not? So that the text.
No,
I think
Milton is doing it.
I just did.
So, Milton, you will... Okay, good. So, sorry, okay, you can move on now.
So, sorry to jump, so there was one question that was asked by the members, and that was that whether we should provide the procedure for the removal of the officers in the bylaws. Should we do that or not?
Well, I think probably the only real obstacle we've run into in the Peter Green situation was that we didn't have a very specific removal method in the bylaws. So, again, it's getting a little bureaucratic, but if you want to protect yourself or protect the future ECs from this problem, you might want to authorize them to do that.
But here we are just in the eligibility, general eligibility for membership. So for executive committee, it's later on in the appropriate, relevant section.
Yeah. Right. We don't talk about removing people for we could put in a general thing that if a membership's eligibility status changes, they should resign. And if they don't, the EC can take them out and shoot them.
So maybe you can put in so that you think I can take them out and shoot them.
Okay, I think since we are also have other officers like treasurers, and also we have policy committee. Maybe if we are thinking about removal, we need to think about all those offices. It can be also an appointment as a representative.
Yeah, that's why it's good to put it in the. That's why it's good to put it in the eligibility section, because it applies to all individuals.
Okay. Okay, do we have text for this? Sorry, someone is suggesting a text for that part?
Milton. Hello?
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Okay.
Okay, so that's wonderful. All right, okay. We move to Aiden. Aiden says, can you hear me?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Aiden says that he doesn't like the language of paragraph 3, an individual internet user who's employed by and by a large non-commercial organization, blah, blah, blah. So Aiden says here, I don't really like it. How about phrasing it like this or something to that effect? What we have to do is to read this and see whether we want to incorporate this or not.
Okay. Okay, so
I think we get the text from NCSG, so...
Is this the NCSG text?
Yeah, I think so. This is something similar to NCSG text, so we need to be careful to...
Okay, let me just say this is similar to NCSG text. So... Shall I say that? Are we sure this is similar?
I'm trying to find out, but something that kind of I recall reading before. Okay.
The text
in NCSG say an individual internet user who is primarily concerned with the non-commercial public interest aspect of domain name policy and is not represented in ICANN through membership. Okay. Oh, yep. So, an individual who is employed by or member of non-member non-commercial organization, university, college, large NGO can join NCSG in his or her individual capacity. If their organization hasn't already joined NCSG, the executive committee shall, at its discretion, determine limits to the total number of individual... copy it. It's much better. It's long, long one. And I think NCSG was more explicit to avoid situation that an organization try to several, employees of the same organization try to join.
I think that is a good idea. I think we should have that in our bylaws.
Milton, what do you think?
What's that?
Well, yeah, I mean. The one I put in the, I copy it from NCSG charter. It's quite detailed about that, such case.
Were you listening? We are talking about Aiden's comments are on paragraph 3, number 3. He says that he doesn't like the wording of the paragraph 3. And then Rafi looked and found the NCSG clause that is related to this, and I think it's better than ours. I think we should just take that.
Okay, let me just look at this. It's too complicated. The individual lacks a standing to get his or her organization on an organizational basis, and he's saying... Particularly, we should restrict the reasons for why.
Oh, Milton, I think if you look at the chat, Rafiq has copy-pasted NCSG paragraph that is exactly addressing the issue we are addressing in that paragraph in NCUC bylaws, and I think they have done it better than ours. I think we should just copy-paste what they... I think this will also address Aiden's concern.
Okay. I agree. Better.
Okay. Did you read it?
Yep. Did I read it? I just pronounced it okay. And you're asking me whether I read it? Do you think I'm just, like, making it up and saying okay to please the Empress?
Yeah, I think you sometimes do that. You are just tired and want to get rid of us.
Okay,
let's replace it.
Okay, guys, I will really need to leave the call in 10 minutes, so let's do as
Me
much
too.
As possible. I'm not
sure.
So, okay. So, did you copy the part from NCAG?
Did I? Or somebody can just lay
I'm going, I will do that. I will do that. I will do that, Rafi. Okay, so let's go to the next point when I'm copy-pasting this, okay? You see? Beautiful. So let's go to the next point. Replaced with NCSG with a similar paragraph. Issue. Okay. So let's go.
Okay. So, the next one, if the chair of NCG and NCUC member, what kind of impartiality? Well, I mean, he's just participating as an observer, so...
Yeah, so I think Milton has responded, and if Avi wants to bring it up during the call on Monday, we can just tell her. I'm going to send an email to Avi and ask if she can attend the call.
Well, one thing I noticed about the NCSG, Never mind.
Well, I think we can just add the comment that he's participating as an observer to liaise and so on. I mean, he's not supposed to make any decision here.
Okay. So shall we discuss this on Monday?
Well, okay, we can put it. That's not a big issue, I guess, anyway. So,
yeah.
Okay, can you add it as an issue, just, you know, to be sure that we cover it?
Mariam, can you please add... I'm just going to send you the text so that you can add. Rafiq, you can go to the next point. I will just write this down for Mariam.
Okay. So the next one, just Avri added, the chair is elected by the active membership. I think it's just kind of to be consistent. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I do agree with Avri here. Issue announcement to constituency regarding in-person meeting within 45 days of the meeting. Which is too big, really. I mean, with the schedule issue, it's unlikely that we can do it. scheduling issues for ICANN meetings. So what do you think? Should we reduce the number?
Like 15 days? This is really a minor point. I don't even know why it's in the bylaws. But, yeah, whatever your experience tells you, just put a number in there.
Yeah, I mean, we have several numbers, like for election and so on, but I'm not sure we are respecting them, really. So I would put just
2 weeks.
Yeah. It will be also aligned with the publishing the agenda, so.
Yeah.
Okay, I will accept the active. The next one. Okay. The next. Oh. What does this have to do with the regional representative? I think about. The treasurer.
So she's asking why we put the treasurer in the regional representative, because treasurer is not a regional representative, which is true. So where should...
But do we mention the treasurer in another place, to be sure, I mean, that we are appointing him?
I think we do, but we don't, and we need something.
There is one section on treasurer, section G.
Yeah.
They shall select a treasurer.
Yeah, so we don't need it. So let's delete it.
Okay. Okay, next. Shall each serve no more than 3 consecutive terms on the EC? I think it's clear. There's nobody can have 3 consecutive terms, so not lifetime term limit. Otherwise, for example, I couldn't get run again for NC for GNSO council election.
Well, do we need to clarify it?
I think it's clear. It says should each serve no more than 3 consecutive terms. Ah.
So can they never run again? That's what Aiden is asking.
Yeah, I think it's just to add an consecutive. I think maybe there is some text in there. Okay. We have text that we can use from NCAG.
Oh, really? What is it? I just added some text. After stepping down for at least one term, former EC members are eligible to run again.
Okay. What, for example, NCAG say, for example, a chair can serve at maximum 2 full 1-year terms consecutively. There must be at least 1 intervening term before a member can be elected again as a chair.
Okay, there must be at least 1 intervening term for former EC members It all gets more complicated. Okay.
Oh, what this? There must be at least one intervening term before a former EC member who have served 3 consecutive terms are eligible to run again. Oh. Well, well.
That's perfect.
So an intervening term is like 1 year or something?
Yes. Annual basis.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean... It's only for Genesis Council you have to, so 2 years term. Okay.
We resolve this. Let's move on.
Okay, I should really leave in 1 minute. So okay.
Is it possible, Milton? Can you stay with me? On draw. Because I'm sorry, Chair, but I want to go through also a couple of comments, and I will update you on all the things that we do in the rest. And I'm just going to send it to the EC. Is that okay?
Sorry to cut you short. Unfortunately, we're using this room for the meeting. I'm so sorry.
Oh, there are some other people who are going to come in? Oh, gosh, I didn't know we have that in that election. Online space. All right, then that's fine. I'm just going to send.
We can go off of Adobe and go on to Skype if you want to. But I could only sit for another half an hour at most.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
So because the Matt commenter here, and he has made a couple of like good points, which I think we should treat it before we actually go on Monday. What I'm going to do, and I'm going to ask you to please read, and let's discuss it on the mailing list, on the EC mailing list, Matt's comment, and then decide what kind of changes we're going to make based on Matt's comment, and then I'm just going to go through all the changes on Sunday, and we can have our meeting on Monday, if we can do that. But please respond to me and work with me, okay?
Okay. Can you... Farzana, can you please send again Matt comments? I think I missed them. I went through, I don't see them. So please resend them. It will be the easiest way. And I guess people can later go through the rest of the comments and work. I mean, I can resolve those for grammatical or, I mean, adding like active. But for those needs discussion, we can continue in the mailing list and find a solution there. Okay?
Okay, that's great. Okay, thank you very much, everyone.
And Maria, please send the notes and action items quickly so we can, because we have to work on this within the weekend.
Sure, I'll do so now. Thank you very much for everyone for attending the meeting. Marsha, you may stop this recording and transfer the line, please. Thank you very much.